It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a delight to be with you again today from Bible Home Church. You know, I'll tell you, I've just been so blessed recently by letters sent by our good friends throughout the United States, even overseas. People are writing us and letting us know that they're getting a great blessing and really instructions in righteousness from Bible Home Church. You know, our whole goal here is to support and defend God's Word. We really don't have any other purpose because, you know, the Bible says that God magnifies His Word above His name. Now, the name of Jesus is above every name. Certainly above the name Tex Mars by far. And, you know, being that is so, then imagine how powerful His Word is. I do not think it is an accident, my good friends, that in John 1, we see that Jesus was the Word. And I capitalized the W letter, the letter W, in that Word. He is the Word who was with God from the beginning. Now, a lot of people have asked me in the past, they get, you know, to wondering, well, if He, Jesus, is and was the Word of God, does that mean He's the same as the Bible? Well, of course, there are many, many things that Jesus will no doubt tell us when we get to heaven as Christians. I'm sure we'll learn many other things. I think He can, He decided to only give us what we can handle. It seems like the Bible is a lot more than most people can handle, and that's enough of the Word for us to take. But I don't see any distinction between God and His Word. You cannot separate what God said from Him. And that is why He is the Word of God, but we have the Word of God in print that we can read and understand as well. But remember, the Word of God, which is the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, points to He who is the Word. It points to everything that He has done and is going to do. It points to the beginning of mankind and this earth and the heavens. It tells us how it occurred. And then we go to the end of how it's going to all end with a new heaven and a new earth and the glory of God in Revelation 22. And so we see then that the Word, who is Jesus, is found throughout the printed Word of God. You know, they say that back in the old days, I wish it were so today, and I'll assume that you're going to agree with me on this. They used to say a man's word is his bond. Didn't have to have a lot of written contracts and get all the lawyers involved back in those days. But if two people join hands, looked each other square in the eye, and they gave their word, it was their bond. And my friends, you didn't break your word. And if you broke it one time, then that was anathema. I mean, you were almost cursed by the other people of that community. They would say, you cannot trust that man's word. I firmly feel and believe that this is true of God. God has given us His word. It is His bond. We can and we must, if we are wise, believe it. If you do not believe God's word, then you call Him a liar. And obviously, if God is a liar, then we can never trust him, can we? The good news is that God has never lied. Everything in his word is true. And the more the archaeologist and the anthropologist and the historians have tried to find error, the more they just found that they have a red face of embarrassment. More and more, even modern science is proving the word of God. And when temporarily in human history, they have doubted it, they have come up with, as the old colloquial saying goes, egg on their face. It's always proven to be so. And it will, because it is the word of God. God cannot lie. Oh, I guess he could lie. He can do anything he wants. It's that God determined that he would always be honest and genuine. And that is the one characteristic. Someday I want to do, you know, a personality study of God. Oh my, I'm almost embarrassed to even attempt such a thing, because that would be saying that I have the mind of God, and I can't do that. I can never have the mind of God. But what I'm trying to say is there are things in his word that he tells us about himself. And it is worthy for us as Bible students to study then what he has told us about himself, his characteristics. You know, wouldn't you love to for a person or some kind of a committee of wise people to make a study of your personality? And when they finish the study, they say, here is John, here is Bill, here is Kimberly or Sally or Sandra. Here is their resume. Here is the person, the characteristics, the personality traits. And the first one starts off with, he or she is honest. You can always count on, trust, and believe in this person's word. You know, I'd like that to start off with my own resume. I realize that I can't possibly meet that standard. I want it to. I'm striving to that. To the extent that I am honest, I hope God will recognize that. And if ever I do anything dishonest, I hope God will, well, I hope he'll just slap me in the face real hard. Take my, you know, my nose and tweak it, and my ears and pull them up and, well, hit me over the head with a club. You know, every once in a while, God has done that to me. But the Bible says that if God loves you, he will chasten you. And if he let me get away with things throughout my life, you know, and there are a few things that I'm not too, you know, pleased about. You know, I remember when I was in my 20s going to the officers club with other young Air Force officers and drinking a little bit too much at happy hour. I'm not pleased with that at all. And it's an interesting thing that, you know, God took me to the woodshed on those kinds of things many years ago. and he took care of that real well. So, you know, you don't have to worry about Tex Mars ever drinking too much. So, but God does that. You know, it's not enough to say, well, all the officers got together. You know, it was their social time. God says, I don't care about the other officers, Tex Mars. I care about you. I'll deal with them later, one by one. So, so God did that for me. And then many years ago, God pointed me in the direction and said, I want you to start for me a Christian ministry. And I thought, well, that's nuts. I'm not going to do that. I've got my own agenda. I've made plans for my life. And that's when God grabbed me. I'm being figuratively speaking here, but he sure grabbed me by the shoulders and jerked me around a little bit and said, I think you're going to change your mind real quick here, Tex Mars. And boy, I sure did. Let me tell you, you know, a lot of people say, well, God is such a God of love and mercy, but I'm telling you, he's going to get your attention sometime. I worry about some people. I had a Christian sister that told me about the abuse her husband was causing in her life, in the life of her children. She said, I don't know why this man who claims to be a Christian would do these things. I said, I don't know why either, except the devil's got a hold of him there, sister, but let me tell you something. The very fact that he claims to be a Christian and he does these things makes me really wary for him and his safety. Because, you see, it would be better for that man to have never claimed to be a Christian. I think God is more lenient with the person who makes no spiritual claims to superiority. I think God lets a lot of sinners go for a little while. Oh, eventually he'll get around to every one of them and give them a wake-up call. I really do believe that. But for the Christian who sins and then pretends, my friends, the Bible doesn't say for no cause at all that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And that man will be judged a lot sooner than the drunkard or the prostitute or the abuser outside the church doors. Yes, he will. He will not get away with that. And that particular gentleman, I'm not at liberty to give you the details, but he did not get away with that. Because it wasn't long until that man had lost his job and was in the pit of despair. And he then suddenly decided that drinking and carousing and abusing wasn't exactly what God had in mind for him. And he cleaned up his life and act. God has to do that sometime. You know, a lot of people come to see me with loved ones like that, and they ask me to pray, and I pray that God will send misery in their mate's life. And after we prayed together, they said, well, Brother Tex, I don't understand. You want my husband or my wife to be sent misery from God? I said, yes, I do. Well, why is that? And I always say, so God will wake them up. God will wake them up. Sometimes that's what gets our attention, my friends. And the Bible says, he whom God loves, he also chastens. Isn't that amazing? But you know, that's true for even a good parent. If you've got a child and they told a little white lie they shouldn't have, or they did something they weren't supposed to do, well, you know, a little bit of punishment makes them think about the seriousness of their infraction, doesn't it? But if you just pat that little one on the head and say, it's okay, go about your business, well, they just assume that you really don't care and it doesn't really matter anyway, and you can believe their behavior and conduct will grow worse and worse. And I like it when God does that to me. You know, there is the road toward God, and if you get off of it and you detour and you find yourself out in some backwoods location and your car has gone into the swamps, it's because you didn't read the road signs. God gives us road signs. He says, stay on that narrow road. You want to get off at your own peril. At your own peril. Don't do it. Stay on that narrow road. And I know the judgment of God today, my friends, and let me tell you from my own standpoint, I'm scared to get off that narrow road. You see, I know that there are forces and people even out there, very important people, who want to see this ministry stopped and this ministry destroyed. And if I get off that narrow road, I'll find myself in quicksand. But as long as I stay on that narrow road, I fear nothing of what men can do to me. Nothing. Not at all. But if I ever get off that narrow road and I'm not walking with God, I'm not aligning my life with God, I get very fearful. For one thing, God just might let me sink. He might say, Tex Mars, you want to go off of my golden plated highway and you want to drive off on the access road, and I'll just see if we can't move you into the swamp land. Now, it is nice many times when you find yourself in the swamp land to cry out to God and say, God, I got here. It's my fault, but would you please help me get back? Would you save me? Well, that's a smart thing to do, but it's better not to get there in the first place. Because sometimes God lets you sit there and your car just sinking. Sinking in that quicksand. He just lets it sink a while. But he heard you. He has his own timing. It might have been a lesson. A lot of people don't understand that in life. They want instant results from God. But sometimes delayed response from God is exactly what the doctor ordered. It's answered prayer. Well, I tell you what, we have a beautiful song for you today. This is about sin. And that's what we've been talking about. Sin. It's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? I was just trying to explain to you that anytime Texmar sins, I really respect God. You see, he's a great being of his word. He said, I'll slap you and get you back in line. Now I'm sort of paraphrasing him. I shouldn't do that maybe, but he understands. I'll get you back in line. Don't do that. Because it's not good for your own health, mental, spiritual, and physical. And God says, you've sinned, but I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, he told the Apostle John to explain that to us, and you can find it in his word. Well, this is going to be a little song about sin. I think you'll like it because there is a remedy for sin, of course. And then we're going to have another segment of our continuing series on the secrets of God. Here are the cathedrals.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood compared to them, he took my place.
Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, of anything that I've ever seen or done. How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought I'm here to say I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I'm loved and forgiven. Right with the
listen to Revelation chapter 28. It warns those who even practice the magic arts, who spread lies. Their place will be in the lake of fire, their eternal place. Revelation 21, verse 8. Even if they practice magic, they're not going to be able to deceive you or me, and their fate is pretty pitiful. And they, the world, is going to be brought up and engulfed in the mystery of iniquity in the last days. Now let me tell you, my friends, the Bible talks about two great mysteries. There's the mystery of godliness, which is the unfathomable to the world's riches of Jesus Christ. That is the mystery of godliness. Paul said this was a mystery that had been kept a secret, but now is revealed to the saints. Do you know of the mystery of Jesus Christ? Nicodemus came to Christ and had questions for him, and Christ said, "Are you not an elder? Are you not a religious leader of the people of Israel? And you don't understand these things?" Well, Nicodemus didn't. It's not religion that explains anything. There are no secrets to be divined through religion. But Jesus himself, as God, can reveal things to you and me. Now, in addition to the mystery of godliness, which is Jesus Christ, and remember the world, they'll think they know Jesus, but they won't. They'll think they understand the religious things of the Bible, but they don't. The mystery of godliness will only be revealed to those whom God has chosen. I'm going to give you some evidence of that in just a minute. But first, I want you to understand that there is an opposition to the mystery of godliness, which is Jesus. There is an opposition to the Lord and His work. And that opposition is also a mystery, and it's called the mystery of iniquity. And Paul said, even in his day, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." It was already at work, even in the days of Paul. But let me tell you, it's going to come to its fruition. It's going to come to completeness and destruction in the last days. And we're right there now, my friends. We're right on the precipice. We're right on the cusp, on the threshold. And this mystery of iniquity is getting more and more vivid and evil and powerful and big and all-consuming. But you know, here's a promise from God. Listen to this. When the Illuminati conspiracy has taken over the earth, seemingly, and there's no way for us to move, and we feel so constricted and so restrained by the devil and his people and his conspiracies, it is at that exact moment that the wicked one will be revealed to the saints. That's what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. The world will be caught up in the mystery of iniquity. They won't even understand what's going on, and they'll be caught up in the mystery of iniquity, into the conspiracy. They'll become accomplices, aid in and abetting, and they'll even kill you and me and think they do God a service. All part of the mystery of iniquity, opposed to the mystery of godliness, the people of Jesus Christ and Jesus himself. But at that very moment, when the whole world, in its stupidity, in its rejection of Christ, is caught up in the sorceries and in the magic arts, and they're consumed up into this mystery of iniquity, the cloud that takes the whole world into its grasp in the last days, the consuming fire that eats away at their substance and even at their very heart and soul, at that moment, the wicked shall be revealed. The wicked one, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, shall be revealed. But who? To the saints. Did you know that it is going to be the greatest secret of all in terms of wickedness, who that man of sin is? But you and I are going to know if we're here at that moment. The old devil can't hide anything. He can't even hide the name or the number of the beast in the last days. We'll even know that. And then shall that wicked be revealed, and then the Lord will do away with him. I like that. No matter where these people do their dirty work in the dark, no matter what secrets they try to hide, we're going to know. Everything in due time, says God. Everything. What they do in the dark, God's going to put a spotlight on. You can believe it. We will know. You know, the rest of the earth is just a bunch of biomechanical flesh machines.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on The Secrets of God.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.